Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
Hi everybody, I'd like to introduce our guest speaker. This is Robbie Rohr. Robbie currently serves as the executive director of the Vashon Food Bank. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the food bank. They have a small but dedicated staff that's behind the scenes, organizing distribution, managing large inventories of food, assisting with fundraising, coordinating pickups, supporting volunteers, harvest, sorting, food drives, the summer lunch program, and more. We do a lot. Robbie has been working in the field of human services and social justice for over 40 years. She attributes much of her life direction to her education at Earlham, a Quaker college in Richmond, Indiana. And also, she credits inspiration that she gets from her peers and nature. So I'd like to welcome Robbie here today, and she's going to talk to us about hunger on Vashon, what and why.
It's an interesting experience to figure out like how you transition from this to something else. And I think I was going to tell you just a little bit about myself at the beginning, and then kind of tie it in a little bit. So I've been here for almost 4 years, and my wife and I moved out here, you know, kind of about some months into that process. But prior to coming here, I was at Holden Village. Does anybody here know Holden? Yeah, it's a very lovely retreat center, Lutheran retreat center. And you can go there as a volunteer and, you know, work. They're pretty work ethic. You work 8 hours a day and then take part in the community for the rest of the time. And on my last day there, I was sitting by a stream, and I kind of had two interesting questions. One of them that I was saying to myself was, have I done the work of being kind of a leader in the nonprofit sector long enough? Meaning kind of that it's a hard function. There's a lot of responsibility and a lot of grappling in it. And the other was, how do I find some place to live that has a lot of the qualities that the retreat center had? I actually decided at that point that I wanted to move to Vashon and started talking to Mary about that. And the reasons that I wanted to come to Vashon were that it offered a lot of the same natural beauty, that it was in some ways a very defined community because it's an island partially, that helps the sense of community define itself, and also because a lot of folks who are here because of common values. Some folks perhaps not quite as much, but a lot. So I was trying to figure out like how could I have that sense of community and do it in a way that, you know, would work both for my wife and I. And I'd been on Vashon before, and I knew about it. I've been here, I'd kind of had the sense of it. So that was kind of the path that led me here. We were thinking about moving even before the job came up at the food bank. And then when that came up, I kind of looked at that other question of like, well, have I done my time as a director long enough? And I said, well, this sounds really interesting. And the people seemed really open and healthy, and I really wanted to work in something where social justice was manifest and where it was a very tangible need that was being met. So that's how I came here. And interestingly enough, I gave my notice about a month and a half ago, and I'm going to resign in May. And I'm very excited about going on to that next phase that looks like, how do you live in a life without that defined role that comes along with lots of responsibilities? And a couple of the kind of the values and the qualities and the things that I'm interested in figuring out as I go forward. One of them, I was at an event at the Whidbey Institute some time ago, and it was I can't even remember who it was. He was a pretty well-known person, rightfully so. He was giving a workshop, and there weren't very many of us. And I was a little embarrassed because the kind of the point of it was like finding your gifts. And he gave us an exercise to do, and I wrote down what I was good at. And when I shared them afterwards, he was kind of like, "Oh, are those your gifts? Or are they just what you're good at?" Which I think is a really easy thing to get confused, and probably in most societies it certainly is in ours. So, you know, I'm really good at organizing things. I'm good at putting things together and, you know, doing all that stuff. But and in some ways the outcome of it gives me pleasure and I feel like it's my gift. But I really think, probably, that my gift is much simpler than that. I went to the United Methodist Church in Wallingford before we moved here and before we joined the Unitarian Church. And I remember I kind of gave myself, having been new and knowing what it felt like, I kind of gave myself the responsibility or the opportunity to look for people who looked like they weren't fitting in or, you know, were having a hard time. And I remember one time I didn't even remember having done it, but apparently I went up to a woman who was sitting by herself and just talked to her, and she came up to me months later and said how important that had been to her, that she was having a really hard time, and that who knows what, you know, it's just sometimes it's something is the right thing. And I actually think that my gift may be more about just being present enough to to kind of like tie into people and get a sense of where they are and what they need. Anyway, so that's kind of it all fits. The other piece is that I have felt in a lot of my work that what's important that in retrospect I kind of figure out why I was there, you know, for various things. And one of the questions all along certainly has been being non-judgmental and figuring out what it means to be what it really means to be compassionate and what does it mean to be kind, not out of a place of charity? Because, you know, a lot of what we do in the world when we're trying to be good is charity, and that's it comes from a place of it's a tough place to be because there's a part of it that recognizes that all of us are fortunate to be where we are. We were born probably in the States. Many of us were born white. You know, we were just lots of privileges that we have. And sometimes charity comes from feeling safe and protected because you're here, and then you know what I'm saying? I don't know how to say it exactly, but it's just it's a sense that I'm always kind of aware of that, and that's not what feels the best, right? But it still works, and it's better than nothing. But anyway, being at the food bank has helped me look a lot more at not being judgmental and also at compassion. So what I'm going to start with in the transition piece is just a bunch of quotes from people who use the food bank. And in no particular order, so if you can kind of try and listen for the voice of who might be saying some of these. Vashon became home a dozen years ago. 4 years ago, I became very ill. Besides issues I dealt with from my teens, fibromyalgia was so debilitating, I couldn't even push my wheelchair. This is when a friend suggested the food bank. It's been a lifesaver, and the people working serving the community now are a blessing with smiles and helpful compassion. My family moved here more than 10 years ago, and I graduated from high school. I volunteered at the food bank while in high school and even after. I use the food bank because my income disqualifies me from all other assistance programs, but with the increased cost of living, we are barely scraping by. I'm a single mom. The food bank is important because I wouldn't have enough food to survive. The food bank is an important food source for me. At age 60, I expected to continue to work. I knew I would have no pension and a very small Social Security check. I'd saved a nest egg and expected to work as long as possible. That all changed quickly. At age 60, heart failure, then cancer, no income, and nest egg went quickly. Since then, I get by on very little. The food bank means a lot. Without the food bank, I could not afford to sustain myself. Eggs and beef proteins help me stay day to day. Milk and coffee start my day. I can actually expect productive days. Not every day, but enough to enable me to look forward to another day where maybe I can pay it forward. I work full-time for the school district. I have for years. I use the food bank because without it, I wouldn't be able to afford to feed myself through the month. I moved here from Seattle because I needed to have a lower cost of living and wanted to live closer to the trees in a better neighborhood for my children. Thank goodness for the food bank. I'm very low income, even though I work two jobs and am a full-time student. I would not be able to eat three meals a day on my budget without the food bank. Bless you for all you do. Thank you. So, you know, who uses the food bank? We serve about 1,400 people a year, discrete individuals, which is a little more than one out of every nine people on Vashon. You know, it's always a good picture to do the math, you know, look around, count off to nine, and, you know, that's how many people here use the food bank. Some people come almost every week, because you can come every week and take as much food as you want. Some people just come occasionally, you know, when something comes up they can't afford or just moves out. We had one quote I didn't read, I think was from a contractor who said, you know, you don't get unemployment if you're a contractor and you have seasonal work. We have probably 20% of our clients now are Hispanic, which makes me really happy. We serve, you know, several of the Syrian families. Otherwise, we're pretty white, just like Vashon. When I look at the stats, we serve, it's kind of a wonky system for how they figure ages, but about 24 to 27% are age 55 and above. And similarly, a similar amount are between 1 and 18, and so about 52% are between 19 and 55. It's amazing to me how many people work more than one job there. Sometimes people work two, three, four jobs just trying to make it pull together. Lots and lots of folks who are over 65 and just living on Social Security. You know, and since the most you can get on Social Security is like $2,500, $2,600, yet most people don't get that. You know, if you're single and you're living on your own, you can imagine, you know, how tough it is to make that stretch on Vashon. People who work full-time, like at the school district, people who work full-time at Thriftway, you know, they can't afford to live here. We have a somewhat different profile from urban food banks, as you would imagine. We still have people, you know, who live with mental health issues, you know, who have addiction issues, but it's not as large as it is in some other places. I participated in the homeless count, which is, you know, quite the approximation, but it's about 100 people probably who really don't, I mean, that doesn't count couch surfing, and that means that people who really don't have any place to be. They could be in their car, and they can be in like a trailer as long as it's not on the grid. But that's a lot of folks, and we have people who are homeless who come in as well. Lots of folks who were doing just fine and something happened, cancer, a spouse dies, leaves, you know, another spouse without insurance. Really kind of wonderful things where somebody will come in and say, well, one of my kid's friends doesn't have a place to live, and so he's living with us now, and we just can't make the budget stretch anymore. Anyway, that's who uses the food bank. And the thing that breaks my heart the most about the food bank isn't, I mean, you'd think it was just that these people needed food, and that is heartbreaking, but what really breaks my heart is that people feel bad about coming, mm-hmm. that they feel stigmatized. I had one man who was an artist, but I think we have a lot of artists who come too, people who choose a lifestyle that just isn't recognized by society in a way that allows them to make a living wage. You know, a lot of the musicians on Island are also come to the food bank because that's the way they give back to the world, but the world doesn't give back to them very well in terms of supporting them. So what do? We have distributions at, you know where we are? Does everybody know where we are in Sunrise Ridge? Back, that kind of funky building in the back. four times a week, we are open for people to come in and choose what they want. We also do home delivery to about maybe 30 people every week. We have a garden, and the garden isn't its own program. It feeds, obviously, feeds into the food bank, but it's also it's a way for people to get involved and to be a part of the community. We have a new program that we do with, you know, with Caitlin's actually involved in some collaboration called Harvest for Vashon that's attempting to find and produce more fresh produce that can go to low-income people. We recently started what I would call an initiative that we call Child Hunger, and we've started providing small amounts of food weekly to the school, to Student Link, which is one of the programs that works with people who don't necessarily fit as well into the normal system, and then also to we just take bulk food to the high school and the middle school and the grade school. There's the about 23% of the school district qualify for free and reduced lunch. So that's a lot of people. But, you know, even a lot of the people who are really in need are folks who aren't hooked up to any system at all and don't use FAT and don't use SNAP and don't come to the food bank for all kinds of reasons. So child hunger is a lot bigger issue on Vashon than you'd think. The other thing, this is my pet thing, but just, you know, the figures at the Vashon School District are really skewed because there's 200 students who come from off-island, and probably none of them fall in that category. So if you look at the Vashon portion of kids who really are in need, it's a lot higher. The other program that we do, and hopefully you guys have seen it, is because it's very joyful, is Picnics in the Park, which is out. It takes place at Over Park every weekday during the summer from over all of the vacation period. We serve free nutritious lunches and have volunteer-led activities. And that's partially, it was started because the school district, even at like 23% free and reduced lunch, that's not nearly high enough to qualify for federal assistance. So we provide it because there is no other program. And one of the things that's really interesting about that program is that a lot of the people who come don't need that food, which is wonderful. Because what happens then is that people who need the food come in a totally non-stigmatized environment and have fun and eat along with everyone else. So we're aware of that, and we want to make sure that people who need the food come, but we're delighted that people who don't need the food come as well. So that's what we do. The issue of stigma and compassion. The volunteers, we have over 200 volunteers a year who put in over 6,000 hours. A lot of that is picnics in the park, but we also use, you know, maybe, you know, up to 25 volunteers a week just to do the distribution. And volunteers are wonderful people. A lot of them are customers, but I mean, they're like people with just really great hearts, and they're a lot of what makes the place seem non-judgmental is the way that they interact with people when they come in. But you know, so I just want to wrap up by like, what can we do? I mean, there's obvious things that we can do, like, you know, volunteer for the food bank, you know, give healthy food, give money. Some people don't realize it takes quite a bit of money to run a food bank, but just like any other business, it does have business costs. On island, a couple of other some things that we can do is really try and figure out how to address the stigma issue. I mean, how do we really make it so that people who, for whatever reason in their lives, can't afford to buy enough healthy food can come get it? Like, maybe people go to the library who don't want to spend their money at a bookstore, right? You know, why? How come we can't make it a little bit more like it's a resource that the community provides, and if you need it, you use it, you know? And some people are going to need it forever, and other people are just so eager for the day when they're on the other side and they're giving back. So how do we model norms in the community? How do we model norms in the community that try and reduce the stigma some? You know, I'm a big believer in the fact that we do change social norms. And Vashon is a finite community, which means that it's a lot easier to influence. So I mean, it's a good question. How do we model what we think should be in the world so that it can happen? The other piece is that Vashon's a terrible place to live if you're low income. I mean, the housing, I mean, hopefully people are aware that there's an awful affordable housing crisis right now. You know, people, the people who used to have affordable houses are using them for Airbnb. You know, the rents can start at $2,000 for, you know, we have clients who are trying to live in places at $2,000. Mm-hmm. So we have two potential housing things coming online. One of them is Vashon Households, which is going to be kind of like one room. You know, it's almost like a boarding house, except it's not. It's going to have kitchen facilities and stuff. And then also there's another one out on I can't think of the road. There's another one that Mike Mackey has been working on for years. So do whatever you can to support those and to support affordable housing. Go to the town hall meetings, because there's some nasty things that get said at the town hall meetings. But, you know, the not in my backyard thing is big. And you just need to have people there who don't agree with it and who speak up and just say it. I mean, otherwise it's just depressing to be there. The other thing is we don't have living wage jobs here, and that's really an issue. So, I mean, just the whole piece about how do we help Vashon be a place that really is diverse and really allows people from different lifestyles. It won't be. You know, if we don't get a handle, I'm not trying to be dire, but it's true. If we don't get a handle on the affordable housing and the livable jobs thing, you know, within the next 10 or 20 years, it's going to be an elite community, you know, with service people coming in from off island, and none of us want that. So, anyway, I don't mean to be depressing, but I don't think it has to be depressing on Vashon. I mean, there are so many community activists here, right? So many people whose values are just like really in the right place. It's just a matter of becoming effective in doing that work and speaking up about it. So, I hope when I'm not in charge of things and get to play with my identity a little bit more, I hope to be able to learn more about being kind and compassionate in a different way. And I think that's it. I invite any questions if you have. And I certainly invite you all to, if you haven't been to the food bank, to come visit, to volunteer. Just visiting is really good. It's really kind of fun. It's surprising how bountiful it is, particularly the fresh produce that we have. And, you know, we're trying to work a little, you know, with weekend with Matsuda as well. It's just amazing. People don't just get crummy food at the food bank. I mean, they get organic tofu, they get fresh produce, they get coffee sometimes from, you know, some of the coffee companies here. Macrina Bakery, Macrina donates. They get good food as well as, you know, the stuff that people would normally think of. So thank you for this opportunity. I was a little scattered, but that's kind of where I am in my life right now, and also kind of just going through all the silence before, it was kind of hard to figure out how to just jump into something. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.